Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, as always, it's your boy Isaac. Now, we're going to talk today about something I wasn't going to talk to you about. I couldn't believe it myself either. But how could I break tradition? Since 2011, I've been watching these video award shows and the VMAs, right? There's kind of a sequence of events every year. The high-profile ritual, as they say. We've got the Super Bowl, we've got the Grammys, we've got the Billboard Music Awards, we've got the BET Awards. But most importantly, the biggest one of them all, well, maybe the Super Bowl's bigger, but the MTV Video Music Awards. Because, you know, MTV, they are the, well, they were the creators of culture in the 80s, right? I grew up in the 80s. I remember some of my earliest memories were watching MTV. I remember watching MTV, and I remember watching The Incredible Hulk with Lou Ferrigno. Those are like some of my earliest memories. So, very formative, right? In fact, I've got a book on Audible about MTV, and it's actually pretty good so far. I just haven't made it through. On Audible, right? We love Audible. So anyway, so I watched the 2021 MTV VMAs, which surely you know they aired on Sunday, September 12th. And I watched them on the Monday, and I didn't really see much. I mean, I saw a little bit, but I was like, oh, there's nothing too fun to work with here. I shrugged my shoulders a bit. I thought, well, gee, I mean, obviously there's this low-lying fruit where there's some obvious sexualization of women. There's some homosexuality going on here. But geez, I mean, that's such low-lying fruit in the truth of the world. And, you know, I save that kind of old man get off my grass attitude for the other folks. You know, Mark Dice has to eat too, so I let him I let him be offended by those things. Because look, I don't harp and focus on those particular elements because it gets real messy. And it's not because I'm like, oh, there's no clear agenda to change the social norms of our culture. But my whole thing is like, I don't know that it's wrong. I don't know that as a truther, we want to hold tight to the past. That's what I never understood. Because I'm a pretty progressive guy. I seek the fair treatment of women to express themselves however they want without stigma, of homosexuals to be able to come out of the closet without fear of whatever, fill in the blank. I mean, it's not like there's not a history of these things being oppressed, right? Now, is the same people, the MTV, the same people that give us the Illuminati occult symbolism, also supporting these changes in attitudes? Yes, I see it. I don't think the truthers are wrong in the sense of pointing out, like, look, they're doing this, because they are. My whole thing is, A, I don't necessarily care. I'm kind of okay with some of this stuff, right? Because my whole thing is, as truthers, we are saying, in general, there's a problem with our world, and we want to change it. There's a problem with the power structures and the social construct, and we want to change it. Now, most truthers, I'd argue, want this change to go backwards. But to me, that's not a valid path. What, are we going to go back to the 50s when we had Jim Crow segregation? Go back to the 1910s when women couldn't vote? No, we don't want to go that way. We want to go forward. The difference is, I don't want to go forward down the path that these globalist Luciferians want to go, okay? Which leads to a very narrow path, because like a lot of people in the truth or community specifically don't support my view of this stuff. They think, I don't know why they think this stuff, but they're like, no, you can't do any of this. It's the worst thing ever. It's Satanist. And I agree that there's some elements of overlap there, especially if you look at it from the purely Christian perspective. I don't know that it's super healthy to have women shaking their asses in front of the kids or whatever. I don't know. But like, look, in my personal life, like, I'm kind of a pig. I'm okay with whatever. I think sexuality has been so perverted by this pilgrim weird evangelical thing in America. Like, we're such weirdos in America. It's a whole thing, right? So anyway, I see all this stuff on the VMAs, and I'm like, oh jeez, do I have to talk about this? I don't really want to. It's messy. Some people hear the message and they want to use it to support their homophobic views of the world or their misogynistic views of the way they think. And I'm not feeling that. I don't want to. I have no interest in that. That's the problem I have with the truther thing, is I'll point out stuff and bigots and white supremacists and homophobe people will take that and use it to fuel their agenda. And I'm not trying to be a part of that. But I also understand that that comes with the territory, so it is what it is. I mean, the worst part is people think that I'm this sort of fundamentalist Christian evangelical guy, which I'm totally not, right? Like, I'm a Christian. I always say I'm a bad one because it's true. But I'm not one to buck against equal rights issues, right? Like women empowerment, the LGBTQ movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, aside from the organization of BLM, right? I've talked about that in the past. That was a sticky subject, if you recall. But yeah, the founders of BLM have their connections to Yoruba and this like African pagan religion and all this stuff. Very strange going on there. I think there's a spiritual component there. But as far as the idea of trying to just acknowledge that there's a disparity of the experience in America between different people, right? That's all we're trying to say. Well, not we. I'm not part of the movement. I mean, you get what I'm saying. Jesus, this is why it's so sticky. Because I got to be careful, because I don't want you to take what I'm saying and twist it around too hard. So, basically, where was that here? Yeah, I'm not opposed to like these equal rights things, these civil rights thing, because like, look, ultimately, they're trying to divide and conquer us. They want us fighting amongst each other so that they can continue to do what they do. And who's they? It's the global elites, these top 1%ers who want you fighting with everyone else about every issue you could think of so that they can continue to rule the world, collect their money, cash them checks, while we're fighting over how people shouldn't get minimum wage, a decent minimum wage. If you ever looked at like the chart of how the money in America is distributed, it will make you nauseous. It's like, you know, your Bill Gateses and Jeffrey Bezos have like 99.9% of the money, and then there's the rest of us arguing about peanuts at the bottom. And I think it's by design. I really do. And I'm going to get to the performances, sorry. This is a long preamble, but hey, this is a bonus show for my bonus for my supporters here, right? I don't know if I said that yet. This is a bonus show. I do a bonus show every month, right? And this is September's bonus show. We're going to cover the VMAs. There's not a lot. I'm going to tell you right up front, but we are going to cover Lil Nas X and Normani and I don't know if I'm saying her name right, Normani, Machine Gun Kelly, but most importantly, Chloe Bailey. Yes, we're going to cover that one. But I have to lay out this extensive preamble for you, because A, I miss you, I want to talk to you, and B, I need to set the foundation so we can all understand what I'm trying to say. All right? It's very important to me. So in this show, if I bring up LGBTQ stuff, I'm just going to say gay, all right? If you're an SJW, don't burn me at the stake. I just don't want to spell this label you've chosen every time I refer to it. But the MTV VMAs were suspiciously absent of symbolism. Of the heavy duty, you know, like there was no inverted pentagrams. There's no inverted crosses. There was no devil horns. And I think there's a reason for it. It hit me, right? I watched it on Monday. I thought, that's surprising. There was really not much there. And I kind of was like, whatever. And I'm reading these books, right? I'm reading books about the Order of the Nine Angles, the satanic group that's got Germanic occult roots. But anyway, so I've been reading these books. I'm like buried in these books. And I got a couple messages on the social media like, hey, Isaac, where's your VMAs analysis? And I was like, And I don't have the time to respond to all the messages and comments. So I'll read them though. You know, I read them. And I was like, yeah, I should do something, but I don't know what, you know, what am I going to talk about? Then my man Ryan hit me up. Shout out Ryan. He was like, dude, I'm looking for your analysis. Where is it? And I was like, okay. All right, fair enough. I've been doing this every year since 2011. Maybe it's 2012. I don't remember. I started the blog in 2011. I don't know when I started doing the video analysis, the VMA analysis. But it was at least 2012 or 13 or 14 I was doing them. And it was a really hot topic. People loved those breakdowns of the symbolism. And then around 2015, 2016, and you can Google this and you'll find it. If you Google MTV VMA's Illuminati, the top results will be MTV's own website. Or like one of these mouthpieces for nonsense, like Vulture or Vox or whatever. I don't know. And you'll notice around 2015, they started mocking the symbolism. They would be like, the 2015 MTV VMAs were owned by the Illuminati. Here's proof. And you would read through it, and it would be like the silliest breakdown you've ever seen in your life. Like a five-year-old wrote it. They'd be like, you see how they did the devil horns? Ooh, that means they love the devil. I mean, it was like, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. But what happened around the same time was blogs like mine, and I've got the photos to prove this, screenshots. My traffic was increasing every single month from 2011 to around 2015, 2016. Google hit me with some algorithm thing, and then it dropped, and it's been in the toilet ever since. Because I don't show up on the first page anymore for most of my stuff. Or I did. I didn't until then. I recently got sued and I took down all the posts. So, wah, wah, wah. Now, around this time, and you can, if you go to Bing, you used to be able to, my stuff would show up in the first couple results, just like Google used to be, but everyone's on Google, right? And I did a few shows on the Google conspiracy, so obviously you'll know why this happened. But MTV started doing their own analysis of their own show. And I think that was to discredit the voices such as mine that were out there trying to really look at this and figure out what the hell's going on. Why are they doing this? And they did this for a couple years. Meanwhile, at the same time, I think it's coordinated. At the same time, Google is shadow banning. At the same time, YouTube is full-on banning. I got banned from YouTube in 2017, I think it was. And YouTube has effectively changed their algorithm to shadow ban all of the videos talking about this kind of stuff. It's not like people aren't interested. Because look, in in 2020, the thing that happened in 2020 woke everybody up. Everyone thought, even if they don't believe it now, for a while there wondered, what the hell is going on? Is this real? What does the future look like? Why are they trying to control us? I mean, look at the people in Australia. They're going through it right now. And in 2021, things that we said were impossible are slowly becoming the reality. So what I'm trying to say is everyone is in a situation where they could consider or believe there is an Illuminati global control group. Because they're pretty obvious about it, right? We're not going to go down this rabbit hole of the thing that happened in 2020, the thing that will never go away. But regardless of what you want to take away from that thing, you have to know that there's good support to argue that they're not telling us the whole truth. I think that's very clear. And I think everyone knows that. And everyone, you know, there's this, what do you call it? It's like the opposite of cognitive dissonance. Everyone's like, why are we being lied to? How far does this lie go? How am I supposed to trust any of these people? The, you know, and they're currently, oh boy, they're currently pushing for the, what do you call it, the Mando Vando, right? You know what I'm talking about? And it's making people furious, right? Because if you look at the numbers, half of the country doesn't want to take the Mando thing. And then you got someone coming out and saying, you're going to take the Mando thing. I mean, what a bad idea that is. We got way too many guns in this country for to do that. Are you crazy? What are you doing? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to cause mass disruptions? I don't know. Anyway, but like I said, look at this. We're going down the rabbit hole. I said we weren't going down. Doesn't that, everything revolves around the thing from 2020 that will never go away. But I say all that to say this. Could it be that the Illuminati knows they're pushing the people too hard, right? You can't make everyone do everything. You can only get them to do a little bit. And I think they've sort of played their hand a little, or what do you call it, showed their hand a little bit. And they're like, okay, look, we're really pissing people off. Everyone's really questioning if we exist. Maybe let's not do the satanic thing at the VMAs this year. And we don't want to make this too, we don't want to put fuel to the fire, right? Does that make sense? All right, there you go. 20 minutes for me to explain one idea, but that was my idea about this whole thing. That's when it hit me, because my man Ryan said, where's your analysis? And I thought, geez, I just don't know. There's not much to talk about. I even tweeted that on Monday. I said, I don't know, did anybody notice anything? I didn't see nothing. But then it hit me in the middle of the night, like an inspiration from God himself. That's right. I'm a messenger of God now. It hit me in the middle of the night, and I thought, that's it. That's it. That's why there was this lack of symbolism. It's because, and this almost proves they exist, right? If you want to get crazy about it, I mean, this is what you're here for, to get crazy. It almost proves they exist by how little bit of symbolism there was on this thing. And it shows that maybe they're tied into the global plans here, which, again, you can view the thing from 2020 however you like, and I think this all fits. All right, let's move on to the performances here. Like I said, this is going to be pretty thin, so I'll try to entertain it along the way. Doja Cat was there. She wore a chair on her head. Yep. And she levitated to perform whatever song she performed in the air. Kind of like Pink, right? It was very pinkish. Nothing crazy, though. I mean, she was levitating. We could talk about that. That's one of the superpowers that Helena Blavatsky talked about the Ascended Masters could do. The CDs, the superhuman superpower CDs. Lil Nas X was there. And here's another thing this is where we talk about the gay stuff. If you'll notice, so he splashed the news. So let's go back in time. He does Old Town Road. Song blows up. And then it was strangely popular with the kids. So he had this huge following of young people, which is a big deal to marketing and the Illuminati and all that, because they know if you can get the kids, then that's in their formative years. You can influence the way they vote later on, the way they spend their money and how they think about the world and all that stuff, right? If you ever read Fast Food Nation, you'll understand how that works. That's why they aim advertisements at the kids, which I believe in some countries is illegal. But anyway, he came out as gay after Old Town Road at some point. I'm not a huge Lil Nas X fan. Like, he's fine. I don't like listen to his albums. But there wasn't a ton of backlash, right? A tangible backlash that I could tell. Like, I think people are pretty used to it now. Like, yeah, people are gay. Big deal. Which is how it should be. Right? It's how it should be. Like, who cares? Like, no one asked you. I don't care where you put your genitals. I said that, genitals. No one should care. Who cares? No one asked. It's fine. Go for it, dude. But then on the other hand, some people who say, like, I would argue, like, you know what, in defense of the gay people, like, if I came out tomorrow, I was like, you know what, I'm gay, I feel like I would get a lot of flack from people. So, I don't know. Maybe they're right in saying that we need to normalize this still. But I would argue that it's fairly normalized now. Like, when I grew up in the 90s, I remember it was a big deal because in, was it Wyoming? I don't know. They made a movie about it. There was someone who was outed as gay, and they drug him behind a truck or something and killed him. It was terrible. And I think we've come a long way since then, right? Probably not as far as we need to go. And the same goes for race relations. We've moved the ball down the field pretty far on both of these things. Is it perfect yet? No, but I mean, it's going to take some time. But anyway, he comes out gay. Not a ton of backlash that I could perceive. But then around the same time, I don't know, within 6 months or something, he wrote a kid's book. And I was like, okay, I mean, whatever, sure. But the problem I had was right after the kid's book drops, he releases this video, Montero, which I did several shows on this, if you listen to him, where he's obviously very gay in the video, but he's lap dancing with Satan. And at the same time, he starts selling these satanic shoes with pentagrams and blood and 666 written all over them. And this caused an uproar, as it should have. But it seems like now, in hindsight, they're trying to mush together this thing as... They're trying to sort of, it feels like, I have nothing tangible to talk about, but like, it feels like they're trying to rewrite history and make it seem like, oh, Lil Nas X is so controversial because he came out gay. And I was like, I think it was more that he was dry humping Satan after trying to sell a kid's book and then selling shoes with blood and 666 written all over him. I think that was more of the controversy, but now they're trying to sort of like double down on this controversial gay element he has, right? And I'm kind of like, well, let's not forget that the real reason why people had a problem with Lil Nas X, it wasn't because he was gay. I mean, I'm sure there was some, I'm sure, right? I'm sure he caught some flack for that. But I think the bigger problem was the Satanist thing. So anyhow, he wins video of the year for that video, Montero. Whoa, MTV, what are you doing? And that breaks my heart, because you know what? I love MTV. I love Ridiculousness, even though it's on repeat for 24/7. I love The Challenge. I used to love Jersey Shore, but man, they really ruined that show. I've always professed my love of Jersey Shore, but last season was the point where I tapped out. I was like, this is corny. Because the problem is, and I don't know if anyone knows MTV's people, but they need to relay a message to them. They really screwed this thing up. Because with Jersey Shore, the thing that made it great was you had a bunch of young people getting drunk and acting stupid, getting in fights and acting crazy and whatever, right? But now they're all old and like they got kids and they've been through rehab and they can't do that. So now what's Jersey Shore? It's these guys going out to dinner every day. It's so boring. It's so lame. And then it has like the whole that reality show setup of like, we're going down to the paintball thing today. Boo, 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 boo. Here we are at Ronnie's Paintball Gun Museum or whatever. It's like, ugh, so cringy. And here's the thing, MTV. What you should do is every single year, you get a new cast. All have to be like 21, 22. You got to get a bunch of good-looking people that want to get drunk and get their name out there. And they'd act a fool. And every single year, you'd watch it. Because the problem is, you give these people get on there. They do a bunch of wild stuff, like the first couple seasons of Jersey Shore. And everyone's glued to the TV like, yo, this is crazy. But then these people get a little money in their pocket. And they're like, look, I'm not trying to F up my money. So I'm not doing that anymore. And then you get people sitting around the table eating dinner every night. I'm like, cool, I could do that at home. I want to see young people acting stupid. You know what I'm saying? So if anyone knows anyone in MTV that's listening, please advise them to change their formatting of the Jersey Shore. And the same goes for Florida Bama Shore. They're going that route too. Because that was a pretty good show, and man, it's getting bad. It's not there yet. It's not Jersey Shore bad yet, but it's getting there. Why are you talking about Jersey? Oh, yeah, MTV. Okay. Yeah, so they give him the award for video of the year for this satanic trash. And then his follow-up track and video was called Industry Baby, where it's, very homosexual-oriented. And again, like, that's not the thing that people have the problem with in general. And it's got Jack Harlow, and I think it's curious because in the video and on the performance, you can notice how much Jack Harlow distances from all the homosexuality stuff. Like, even in the video, Lil Nas X is dancing around with a bunch of dudes. And then Jack Harlow comes out and he's dancing around with a girl, you know. So, anyway, they basically do the same stuff you see in the video, the shower scene and everything. And then he wraps up with a little taste of Montero. Does that again. Then he even, this is kind of funny, right? Let's take our tinfoil hat off for just 1 second. He won the award and said, I'd like to thank the gay agenda, which is kind of funny, right? Because he knows all the people, all the conspiracy people especially, are going to be like, oh, you see, this is that gay agenda. And I don't know, like, what is the gay agenda? Is it just normalizing what maybe Christian fundamentalists think is a no-no because the Bible condemned it? But, you know, much like has been said before, they also condemned eating shellfish and stuff. So are we going to do that? But anyway, okay, you can put your tinfoil hat back on. Let's get weird again. Olivia Rodrigo, she won Song of the Year and Best New Artist over Polo G. Can you believe that? And in fact, I was kind of shocked because I thought, Polo G's not really a new artist. I don't know how far back that goes, that qualification. But whatever. Anyway, she won New Artist. And I was kind of surprised. I thought Polo G was going to get that, but I think she is definitely one to watch, much like Billie Eilish, right? I think she's going to have some doors open up, and she's got some great catchy songs. I enjoy her music. But I hope everything turns out all right for these young ladies, because once you get tied in to this scene, sometimes things go awry, okay? As we'll talk about with Chloe Bailey. Normani, who I don't do R&B, so, and I barely do pop, so I'm not familiar with some of these people, so I'm probably mispronouncing her name, but Normani, she did this song Wild Side, and it was fairly normal until the end, where she brings out a dancer who's strapped into like this cross thing, very bondage S&M looking thing. And she seductively dances on her and sort of simulates a kiss. Or did she actually kiss her? Maybe she actually kissed her. But you see how like how normalized it was? Madonna come out and kissed Britney Spears and it was like headlines for months. And I don't even remember if this chick kissed her. It doesn't matter. No one's even talking about it. It's fine. But anyway, so why are we talking about her? Let me look here. Normani. Oh, yeah. So she channeled, I looked it up. She said she channeled Janet Jackson. And I didn't know this, but if you look up, and I found this article on CNN, this video clip on CNN. I'm sure you could find it elsewhere. I don't know how to find it exactly. But in 2002, Janet had a tour, the All For You tour. And I guess at the end of the show, she would pull a guy from the audience, strap him into this S&M cross. Looks like something from Saw 2, if you've ever seen that. The movie, and they twist the guy's head around. Anyway, she would strap a guy into this iron cross and seductively dance on him while singing to him. I mean, you really got to see this clip. The one I saw on CNN, this young black man was sweating absolute bullets. And I don't blame him. It was, it's some kind of bondage thing. But, I mean, I thought, wow. I'd be terrified of getting a boner on this thing. I mean, everyone's watching. Especially nowadays. Nowadays, you got everybody recording everything and people watch these concerts through their teeny tiny phones because they don't want to miss anything, right? Meanwhile, they're missing everything. I never understood that, but hey, you know, this is the old man get off my grass episode, apparently. So, but yeah, that Normani did that, which apparently is old hat. Apparently it's been done before. Only this had a homosexual flair to it, which again, whatever. The Busta Rhymes came out. They dug him up from the dead. And he did some medley of songs. I'm sure the kids didn't know who the hell he was. It was cool, though. You know, I like Busta Rhymes. In fact, he did that Extinction Level Event Part 2 album that I get a lot of requests to do a breakdown on. And I probably should someday here. But yeah, so he, you know, came out and did a whole thing. Then, okay, so I'm going out of order here. I'm gonna go to the end of the thing, and then I'm gonna come back to Chloe Bailey because that's the grand finale of this show. Because I'm trying to find something for you, okay? Well, Machine Gun Kelly. First off, before the show, Conor McGregor threw a drink at him, and that was pretty funny. And then if you watch, I followed Machine Gun Kelly on his Instagram. He had a story of him drinking a juice and laughing. I'm assuming he was taunting Conor McGregor. But apparently they're cool now. I don't know. Whatever. But he performed at the end of the show. My DVR cut off. I was so pissed. I had to find this on YouTube. But you can find all the performances on YouTube now. He performed Paper Cuts with Travis Barker. Easily the best performance of the night. I couldn't make heads or tails of what the scene was, though. It had very pagan elements, like trees and branches. It had a dumpster with rocks in it, I guess, and a stone angel. It was just kind of a bizarre, nightmarish-looking scene. And he started out with this face mask that had these sharp horned branches of some kind. It had very pagan elements. I think it was a play on the video, because if you watch the actual video, which was directed by Cole Bennett, he had that weird head tattoo symbol. And Bennett's, and if you know what that is, send me a message. I couldn't figure out what that was. I mean, it's hard to figure out what symbols are unless you got the, and I've got a couple books that go through symbols, and I didn't notice it in any of them. But Cole Bennett said that whole video was based upon a weird dream he had. And, and I don't know why, but I get like weird Tom Petty vibes from it. Don't come around here no more. It's kind of what I think. Anyway. So the video, the performance, I can't make heads or tails of it. Maybe it's just a trippy, bizarro dream world. But the lyrics are interesting. The lyrics talk about, he says, sign the deal, paper cuts. Signed the deal. Well, I mean, obviously this could be referring to the Faustian bargain, right? Talked about this many times. And what's curious is that he's got an album coming out. And it's called Born with Horns. Which he actually tatted on his arm, if you recall. Him and Travis Barker got the tattoo on their arms. Born with Horns. And the video, the Cole Bennett video, shows him riding a motorcycle around and it's got these big old horns. So what's going on here? What's this new album about? Did he sign a Faustian bargain? You'll notice he shifted from rap to this pop punk sound, which I dig. I actually didn't, like, I never had a problem with Machine Gun Kelly's rap. I thought it was fine. It just wasn't, it never grabbed me. But the new sound, I love it. That new album, that was the best album of 2020, easily, for me. Could it be this was some kind of humiliation ritual, this whole thing? Let me explain. If you recall, a few years back when he was still rapping, he provoked Eminem. Who provokes Eminem? I mean, Eminem might be the greatest lyricist of all time. And if you listen to my Top 50 Rappers show I did in, I believe it was December 2017, only on the Patreon and VIP section, then you heard that, I think I put Eminem number like 4 or 5 on my favorite top 50 rappers. Great lyricist, though. I mean, probably the best there ever was, ever is. And I feel like, and so Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem had this rap battle thing going on. And Machine Gun Kelly did a pretty good job, surprisingly. I would argue that he even bested Eminem with some of that stuff. Because I remember at the time, I didn't love Machine Gun Kelly. I wasn't into his rap music much, but I remember listening to it and being like, oh, he did pretty good. It was impressive. The point being, maybe, because you know everything's like a ritual, everything's like a show. Maybe the handlers, the entertainment industry, maybe they were like, hey, Machine Gun Kelly, put yourself out here on this humiliation ritual. You're going to provoke the world's greatest lyricist. And if you go through this whole debacle, we'll hook you up. And maybe he did that. And maybe now they're like, okay, now you get to make the music you want to make. I don't know. Am I off on that? What do you think? All right, finally. The most bizarre performance of the night. Chloe Bailey. And when I watched it, I didn't even know who this chick was. No idea. But my comments, and you can ask Josie, I looked at her and I said, look, because I actually watched this on my own. And then the next day, even Josie said, Isaac, what are you going to do? When are you going to do your VMA show? I said, look, I don't think I'm going to do a show. I didn't really see much. And she was like, well, I want to watch some of their performances. I heard about the weird chick coming out on a cross. And I said, oh yeah, there's that. I said, yeah, there's that. But it's not like an inverted satanic cross or nothing, so I can't really work with that too hard. Because I got a reputation to uphold here, and I'm not trying to make something out of nothing. I need you to trust me. I need you to believe me, right? So I can't just go saying everything's illuminate confirmed when it might not be. So we kind of scrolled through the videos, the performances, I mean. And I was like, oh, watch this one. And it was the Chloe Bailey performance. And I basically relayed my thoughts at the time to her. I said, look, because if you haven't seen the Chloe Bailey performance, she does this song. What the hell's it called? Have Mercy. And it's super sexual. She's shaking her ass as hard as she possibly can. Overly sexualizing. At the end of the song, she's licking the microphone like it's, you know, whatever, and throwing it down. And I even said to Josie, I said, look, I'm not one to complain about this kind of thing, You got this really great looking girl with a great body. Thought now, I'm not complaining. But watching her perform like this, I felt, wow, this is really forced. And maybe I'm just like a pig that has seen enough strippers in my life that I could spot that. But I said to her, I was like, you know, I can tell she's not about that life. She's not about that action. She was forced to do this, is what I was saying. And she was like, yeah, I don't know. And Josie was even, and she's very, you know, feminist kind of female empowerment attitude. And she was like, yeah, I don't know. That seemed kind of weird. Didn't really hit right. And that was kind of where we left it. And then fast forward a couple days, and that's when Ryan hits me and says, dude, where's your show? And that's when I had the vision in the middle of the night, woke me up, and I said, I get it now. I know what this was all about. And then I did some research. I was like, okay, let me try to find a way to make a show out of this. Because I wasn't just going to make it a 20-minute thing of me saying, look, I think they're trying to chill out with the symbolism because they're pushing us in other areas. Right? That's not a fun show for you. So I thought, okay, let me watch this crap again. Let's make it three times now. And I watched it, just the ones that I thought were worth watching again. And I look up Chloe Bailey, and I couldn't believe it. There was articles talking about the thing, and they're talking about how she was being accused of being in the Illuminati because of this performance. And she said, you know what really cracks me up? One moment, you all say that I talk about God too much. Then the next, you say I'm selling my soul. Which is it, my loves? I love God so much, and I love music, and I just have a lot of passion. That's it. All right? And then I thought, well, that's weird. What does that mean? Is she a gospel singer or something? Because I didn't know who she was. I had no idea. So I look into her, and I find out she was part of this R&B duo called Chloe and Haley, which was like, they were two young girls. This is her sister. And I remember Beyonce was plugging them about a year or two ago. And I thought, oh, now I remember. And if you look up their info, and I'll run through it here. They signed Beyonce's label. But she was like retweeting the photos. And I remember I made a comment on one of the social medias about it. And we'll get there. But when you go and you look at her background, she's one of these kids that started out acting in a Disney film, no less, called Let It Shine. And then she was at the Radio Disney Awards. She did a ton of stuff. She was, her and Halle Bailey were performing at events like the Super Bowl LII. What was that, 52? Not good with my Roman numerals. And WrestleMania XXX1V. What is that? 34. I think it's 34. Anyway, she went on tour with Beyonce. Her sister Halle Bailey is going to be the new Little Mermaid. I mean, these chicks are connected. But the thing that Beyonce was promoting that I remember, she hit the conspiracy radar. In 2020, they dropped an album called The Ungodly Hour. What? And on the cover, these two young girls were dressed in all black with wings, like fallen angels, like Luciferian angels. And Beyonce was promoting it because that they're on her label. Because I think she's Illuminati confirmed, right? Oh, Beyonce. So anyhow, turns out, I guess the whole world's been watching these young girls. I had no idea. And now she just came out bussing down on the big stage. I had no idea. So is this like that whole turnout ritual? The good girl gone bad? Corrupting? Because she said she loved God too much before, and now she's Illuminati. And her background shows she's just like Beyonce and Michael Jackson, where she had these parents who I would assume are trying like hell to get their kids famous. Because she's from Georgia, but they moved to LA when she was roughly 14. Why do you think they did that? It's not like it's cheap to live in LA. And around this time, they launched a YouTube channel, and they immediately get on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and you know Ellen's about that adrenochrome life, right? They did a bunch of music. Apparently some of it was religious themed, but now she's dropping this new solo album called Have Mercy, and she's shaking that ass. And they even allege that she's messing around with the rapper Future. My goodness. So yeah, that was the big to do, was this whole public exposing of the good girl gone bad thing. The Whore of Babylon? I don't know. And look, like I said at the beginning for 20 minutes, women owning their sexuality, cool, go for it, man. I like that. I dig it. I don't disrespect or look down upon women that do that kind of stuff. I just watched that performance and I thought, this looks really forced. Like, she's not really like this in real life. And looking at her past, I would guess she's not. I mean, she looks great. Like, shit, more power to her. But, like, I could just tell by watching it with these old perverted eyes of mine that she was not about that action. And it turns out I was right. I couldn't believe it. And I could argue that Beyonce, who we already have talked about so many times, and her and Halle Bailey was in the Lemonade video, too, apparently. I didn't know who these girls were. I had no idea. But they, maybe Beyonce's trying to put her through the Illuminate Confirm ritual. So there you go. 2021 MTV VMAs, the takeaway. Two takeaways. One, Chloe Bailey is doing the good girl gone bad ritual. Two, this in some weird way proves that there is a coordinated agenda to push these symbols into the rituals. Into the video, the VMAs. And it's like right now, this current moment, they're really pushing their hand on other things. So they were like, ooh, we need to ease up because everyone's kind of on high alert for Illuminati confirm. So they had to chill out a little bit. What do you think? What do you think about that? You think I'm right on that idea? I don't know. Could be right. Could be wrong. I think I'm right. I mean, we're talking about 10 years I've been watching these things. And every year I'm able to find something. And Chloe Bailey seems to be the most obvious one here. But yeah, overall, pretty light on the Illuminati symbolism. They push certain artists. You know, this Olivia Rodrigo, she's one to watch. So maybe next year, right? Maybe next year they're going to go hard in the paint. Who knows, right? What a wild turn of events here. The MTV VMAs are like the Super Bowl. Like, you can always expect something worth talking about. So that was interesting, and yeah, Chloe Bailey, watch out for her. Apparently there's something going on there, so. All right, hope you enjoyed that. That was my, I'm not breaking my streak. I covered every single one now. Oh, boy. Now, this, and you're probably wondering, well, I'm going to go back and listen to all your old VMA shows, Isaac. Well, you're not, because I didn't do shows back then. I did blog posts, but those all got taken down when I got sued by the Illuminati, I'd argue. Which, by the way, inside baseball, and I don't, look, this, I wrote out a big fat check, so like I'm hesitant to talk about it, but the image I got sued for was not of like a singer, it was of like some dude that I was saying was part of the Illuminati. Right, so you do the math, and I couldn't tell you. I don't even know his name, like to this day. It doesn't matter. Anyway, just know that the MTV VMAs analysis used to be in blog form, and I had to take them all down. So I only started doing the podcast versions. I don't even know, 2016, 2017, maybe. So anyway, because I've had to pivot, I keep pivoting. And they keep banning and they keep censoring, and here we are, podcasting full time now. Thank you for your support of the show. I appreciate it in many ways. Whether you're Patreon, Rockfin, or VIP section, I appreciate you. Patreon and Rockfin, Patreon and VIP, you guys got that 10% off the Gumroad store where I sell the signed books. I got coffee mugs still. I got some shirts still. I've actually ordered more shirts. I'm going to have new versions of the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture shirt with a new phrase in the back. So stay tuned. What's the new phrase? You probably know what it is. But I've got a few left, smalls and mediums, I think, of the These Nerds Are Gonna Kill Us version. But I got a new version coming out. And then I'm working on another one that's gonna have like this cool 70s font. So I'll have all that squared away in the next couple months. But yeah, use your discount code over the Gumroad store. I'm loaded down because I bought all these extra paperbacks to sell at my Comic-Con convention thing that I had to pull out of. People can't handle themselves and we're sending death threats. So yeah, you hit up that Gumroad store. Everything's stocked up, so check it out. Use your discount code. And until next time, stay woke.